If you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We are continuing our study in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And today we are on the fifth word, the fifth commandment. We're looking at that this morning. And as a helpful thing, I decided to follow Brother Corey's pattern. And I printed off a list of the scripture verses we'll be using this morning. They are in the foyer. Have quite a few, so I thought that might be useful today. If not, you are welcome to follow along in the text. But we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 20. And we'll be looking at the whole chapter, focusing on verse 12. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood afar off. And Moses said, you speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood afar off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of your word. We thank you for the blessing of that blessed word. Father, we know that the promises here that have been given to us are yes and amen. God, we know that they are fulfilled and they are continuing to be fulfilled in our life, and that these laws, Father, are still applicable to us even today. God, we ask that you help us to understand these laws in light of your Son, who is the fulfillment of these things. Help us to understand where we are before him as we enter into this new table of the law. As we understand our responsibility towards one another, help us to love one another with a deeper compassion. Teach us to love you better and to love one another more. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So today, as we continue to look at the Decalogue, or the 10 words, we come to the fifth word, and we enter a new section dealing with man's responsibility to man. The previous four commands describe to us how we as God's people are to relate to him. And now we will start to see how God's people should relate to each other. The command to honor begins our singular verse this morning in verse 12, and a promised reason completes it. There is a command, and there is a reason to obey. The word honor, as I was studying this and thinking on it, it seems to me to be lost in our vocabulary today. Any idea of it in our mind may make us date back to times of maybe knights and shields, or maybe stories of gentlemen and carriages and chivalry. Honorable men who were seeking to do what was right simply because it was the right thing to do. No ulterior motive, just a deep-seated and principled desire to show integrity. No The word honor and its principles, I'm afraid, have been replaced. They've been replaced with a different word, a word that I would say would be maybe opportunist. Where the honorable man carried with him the character of faithfulness, truthfulness, and honesty, and devotion to others, the opportunist exploits the well-being of others to gain an advantage for himself. Honor looks beyond selfish opportunities and seeks to place something or someone else higher than himself. And that is what we see in Scripture today. That is what we are called to do. In Scripture, we see that the king and all those who exercise worldly authority over us are to be honored. Elsewhere, we learn that pastors, elders, and anyone else that may carry the responsibility of spiritual leadership and authority over us, these two should also be honored. Scripture tells us that we have a responsibility to honor not only our fellow saints in Christ, but actually all those made in God's image. So the fifth word of God's law begins with the principle in the earliest stages of life, with a child's responsibility to honor their parents. By offering this command, children first and most importantly learn that the authority given to their parents, that this authority was given to them by God. And it was given to their parents to guide them, to help mold them. Even in the New Testament, we see the mandate given in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 that says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It doesn't say, "Children, rule over or abuse your parents," but "Children, obey." Children, submit to those that are responsible for your instruction. Show them respect. Show them honor. There's a reason, and I think we should think on this. If you were ever given the opportunity to maybe create a list of laws, let's say you were entering into a brand new land, we were to start a new colony on a new world, and you were given the responsibility of creating the laws for that colony, I'm sure there would be something on there of protecting one's property, maybe protecting the life of those that are there, things such as that. But would there be a law within that commanding us to obey our parents? Would that be one of the things that you would list to start off? And it does seem odd to us that this would be listed amongst other laws that are in the Ten Commandments. But the family is something worthy. It is something worthy of honor. Even from a completely practical mindset, the family gives society the most basic components necessary to secure the future of a people. The family isn't new. It's been part of the fabric of humanity for ages. See, my friends, as a rule, as a law, and by nature, a heterosexual family gives us the next generation of taxpayers, the next generation of lawyers, steel workers, preachers, and politicians. Just practically, the heterosexual family is what does this, and what we see necessary to these instructions, to these institutions, is the structured discipline, love, and morality that we see within the family. Yet today, I'm afraid this foundation is eroding beneath our feet. The structured, guiding discipline of a loving family has been replaced by unruly children, demanding control over their own life and whatever their heart desires, regardless of how harmful or destructive it may be. It's their way or the highway. Familial love has been replaced with instead an idea of self-love. I personally know and work with men and women who will date for 10 years at a time, who either have children or refuse to have children. They refuse to marry, and then whenever they're questioned as to what their plan is in life, they just want to say, "Well, I'm working on myself. I want to chase my dreams," and instead of being tied down to a family unit. Well, they're neglecting to see that they are already in a family unit. They just have refused to love them as that. As I've pointed out, this moral disconnect in the family, it's not just between a husband and wife, but it's between children and parents too. And the outcome of such a loss can be detrimental to a community. So it shouldn't really be a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise that we see a command to honor our parents listed among other high commands against killing and stealing and worshiping other gods. It is important and integral to not only the community secular, but the community scriptural. So, what I hope that we can see and come to understand this morning is that God included this mandate in the family to give us the foundation of a holy nation. And that foundation begins with honor. So, in Exodus, in verse 12, we see that it's the duty of children, not just the suggestion, but the duty of children before God to honor their parents. This means that it is the duty of parents also to teach the children what honor and respect are and look like. If the children grow up to believe to behave in a disrespectful manner, it is possible that the parents haven't instructed them and demanded honor and respect in the home. Of course, my friends, there does come a time when children are no longer living under the roof of their parents and are no longer really called to obey them in the same way that they did when they were young. But something we need to remember and understand here, this mandate to honor our father and mother never ends. It does never go away. If you look at the customs in Israel, And in other cultures as well, you'll see how families show respect to a matriarch and the patriarch of the family. When the father would walk into the room, the custom of all the children, even the adult ones, would be to rise and respect and honor their parent. As parents, do we not want the respect of our children? Don't we feel embarrassed for the ways when we reflect upon our own life, how we have failed our own parents? We may say, well, brother, my father was not an honorable man. You don't know him. Or my mother was not an honorable woman. You didn't live with her. I understand that. But I'm afraid that the Bible does not say honor your father and mother if they are honorable. They hold a position, an office. And even if they are unworthy of that office, the office itself is still to be honored. So let us discuss, how can children best show this honor? And I think it is seen in three ways. It's seen through a loving respect, a careful obedience, and a sustaining care. Respect, obedience, and care. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul speaks of our earthly fathers and our duties towards them, as we saw with Brother Luke this morning. He notes that just as we show our fathers here on earth veneration and respect, so too should we show our Father in heaven even more. He equates and elevates our duty in respecting God to our duty in respecting our earthly father. But also in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, this further elevates our duty by calling us to revere our mother and father. Let's look at Leviticus 19:3. It says, "You shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord." It is not a suggestion. You shall revere them. And see, the KJV translates revere to fear, or to fear our mother and father. That's what it means to revere, to fear. This is what respect is, I believe. It is a mixture of fear and love. Now, this is not the kind of fear that I'm saying that we should be afraid of for our life, but we should be afraid of we should fear the power that has been instituted and given to them. This love for them should call us to respect them. should call us to respect them not only by what we say, but also by what we do. When we are speaking to our parents, we must speak respectfully. And speaking about our parents, we must speak honorably. So if we are speaking to them, it must be with respect. And if we are speaking about them, it must be with honor. Her children rise up and call her blessed, Proverbs 31, 28 says. So even if our parent is wrong or lacks or shows a lack of wisdom, the child should do his best to cover his parents' wrong. As the sons of Noah had to do, if you think of that story, the sons of Noah had to cover their father's wrong. Respecting our parent, it does not require the parent to be perfect. It only requires us to lovingly obey God. We should also respect and reverence our parents and our behavior, not just in what we say about them, but in the way that we act towards them. Joseph's actions towards his father Jacob is a great example of this. See, Joseph is a ruler of all Egypt, one of the richest and most powerful nations of that time. Only due to God's intervening hand, by the way. Jacob, on the other hand, had become very poor and weak. But Joseph did not lord over his father and instead behaved himself humbly. He bowed his knee to Jacob as if their roles were reversed. His behavior was one of respect. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, when King Solomon's mother came to see him, the text says, he rose off his throne and bowed himself to her. How many children are so far from giving reverence to their parents? In fact, many despise their parents. They have such contempt and neglect towards them that they are ashamed to their faith. And they bring their parents gray hairs and a lot of grief. Deuteronomy 27, 16 says, cursed is anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. So let's think on that for a second. If all who dishonor their parents are cursed, how many children in our culture are a curse? If all those under this curse live to have children of their own, then those children will grow to be a thorn in their side, and they will see their own sin in them. We must respect our parents in both our actions and in our words. The second way, though, that we can honor our parents, not just by obedience, but by careful obedience. Children, obey your parents in all things, Colossians 3:20 says. Jesus even set a pattern for us in his own life to follow. He was obedient to his parents. The one that angels must obey, the one that angels receive commands from, was obedient to his parents, listening to their instruction and doing what they said. Proverbs 1:8 says, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. Parents are called to teach us the fear of the Lord. You must listen to their words, both in spiritual matters, but also in everyday life. Everything from advice on a career path to who we should marry should be advised by our parents. We should respect their counsel because we are their responsibility and they must answer to God for every instruction that they give. Obey your parents in all things means even in the things that we dislike the most. Think of the story of Jacob and Esau. When Jacob asked Esau to obey him by going out and killing a deer and preparing it for him, Esau was probably excited and happy to do this. Most likely he loved that. It says that he was a man of that field. But he quickly refused to obey Jacob right afterward when he was to choose a wife. In fact, the Bible shows us that his disobedience, it says, made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. While children must obey their parents in all things, this does only apply to things that are just and honest. Obey as long as the commands of a parent agree with God's commands. As long as our parents' instruction does not disobey God's instruction, we are to obey them. And now the third way that we can honor our parents is by providing them with sustaining care as they grow older. To give them care when they grow older or can no longer care for themselves. Our parents brought us up, after all. They brought us up when we were young, when we were vulnerable. And now we get to sustain them when they are old. See, in nature, for a family of storks, just by sheer instinct, they will bring food to the older ones when the older ones are no longer able to fly because of their age. This is called sounds silly now, I'm going to say, the way of the stork is the way I've heard it called. But dark, though, I believe, is the heart of anyone who is ashamed of their parents when they are old and broken. Our Savior took great care of His mother. Even when on the cross, He looked down at John and He told him to take her home as His own mother and provide for her. As Christians, we should make it our duty to demonstrate honor, dignity, and respect to our parents. And there's a reason. It's because they deserve it. They deserve it because of the deep love that they have for us. Often taking such good care of us that they neglect to take care of themselves. The older we get, the deeper that care becomes for us. Sure, as a kid, when we fell off our bike and got hurt, they worried for us. But when we get older, they worry about other things that may trip us up and make us fall. They love us greatly, at a great cost, sometimes making themselves poor to provide a full life for their children. Thomas Watson puts it like this. He says, "Children never can equal a parent's love. For parents are the instruments of life to their children. And children cannot be so to their parents." Our reason for our honor should come from a deep place. Foremost, we should honor our parents because God's Word has commanded us to do so. And to be honest, that's reason enough. We find in that honor our parents is well-pleasing to God. To honor our parents is well-pleasing to Him. Children, it is your duty to please God. This obedience brings the Lord the same type of joy that a repentant believer shows. The same joy that God receives from a repentant believer, He receives from an obedient child. To show how well it pleases Him, our verse says that if we obey Him, if we honor our parents, then our days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That is a blessing and a promise. God calls this, Paul calls this verse here and that promise the first commandment with a promise in Ephesians 6:2. And while the second commandment did give us a general promise to show mercy, this is the first commandment that has a specific promise attached to it. Long life is promised as a blessing. Since the flood, life has been shortened. Sadly, in just this past year alone, 622,000 young children have found the womb to be their tomb. And still others die even in their youth as well. Death comes upon many every day. So now, when death lies in wait for us, if God promises to give you long life, it must be seen as a blessing. Some will say that this world is just a curse. Any extension of it is just torture. But my friends, it is a blessing that God gives us a long life, that He gives us a long life to repent and call others to repentance. It is a blessing that He gives us a long time to work for Him. And it is a blessing that He gives us a long time to enjoy the love of a family. So who receives this blessing of long life? Obedient children. Not all children, obedient children. Honor your father that your days may be long. The reverse also must be true if we think of that. Disobedience to your parents will shorten your life. Just read the tragic story that we see in 1 Samuel of King David's son Absalom. He tried to take David's life and become king, but was left hanging from a tree before he was even 40 years old. Disobedience does bring death. But obedience will not only lengthen your life, but it makes it even sweeter. See, my friends, God has more than just one blessing for us. He has more than one blessing for an obedient child. Not only will he have a long life, but he will have that long life in a fruitful land, a fruitful family. A land that has been given to him in love. The land which the Lord your God gives you is what the text says. It says, this is the land that the days may be long and the land that the Lord your God has given you. He has given you this gift. How does this command and promise apply to us spiritually? How should we apply this to our spiritual life as we grow in sanctification? Well, my friends, if we are to honor our Father on earth, how much more should we honor our Father that is in heaven? See, our earthly parents brought us a temporary life, but God is the originator of our life. He's the originator of our very existence. And then He gives us eternal life on top of that. For it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. That is what Psalms 103 says. Honor and adoration belong to the King of heaven above, all creatures, and we can do nothing better to show honor than to obey Him. After all, one day, every knee will indeed bow. Not every knee will do it willingly. So our knees should not only be bent, but our hands should be open to present this wonderful gift of obedience to God. His honor is worthy. His honor is worthy of being defended in a wicked and sinful world. This is what we've been learning through the Art of Apologetics on Wednesday night. How we can honor God when we are faced with challenges. But that's a question. How can we even honor God if we are ashamed of Him? Or if we deny Him when others challenge us? Again, Watson says here, such are as are born of God are steeled with courage for His truth. They are like the rock which no wave can break, or like the adamant which no sword can cut. As His children, everything that we do, whether small or grand, should be done with a desire to honor Him. Even our victories over sin should be ascribed to God. Never seek to honor yourself whenever you win a battle over sin. Our victories are His alone. Never seek to honor yourself as you serve God, because what you're actually doing is dishonoring Him. If you seek to honor yourself as you serve Him, you're not honoring Him, you're honoring yourself. And therefore, you're dishonoring God. I pray that every true child of God will honor his heavenly Father. Even if the wicked dishonor him, do not let his children be the one to dishonor him. We all know that sin, that pain from someone that we hold dear, that sin hurts worse than if it came from a stranger. A black spot a spot on a black carpet is easy to ignore, and it's not very noticeable. But a spot on a white one is easy to see. The sins of God's own children cut nearer and dearer to his heart. And we see this in Deuteronomy 32:19. I see the Lord's response to the sin of his people. Deuteronomy 32:19 says, when he saw it, he rejected them. He was repelled by his sons and his daughters. This is God's commentary upon the sin of his people. He says, when I saw their sin, I rejected them. He was repelled, the text says. Repelled by his own children. We should run from anything that may dishonor God. Let him never say that to us. Let him never say that he abhors us because of our provoking, because of our dishonorable disobedience. May he never say that to us. As children, we should be a walking, talking billboard for honor. Honor and reverence for our parents. Because you cannot honor your Father in heaven if you dishonor your earthly parents. To deny obedience to your parents, that will bring God's judgment upon you. And I love you too much to fall into that sin. Proverbs 30:17 says, the eye that mocks a father, the eye that scorns to obey a mother will be ravens' food and will be eaten by vultures. Disobedient children stand in a place where the wrath of God can easily reach. I pray, do not put your children in this place. Live a life that is worthy of honor. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. After all, you passed on the curse to them. Now seek for them to be healed. Augustine wrote in his book Confessions, he wrote that his mother labored more for his spiritual birth than during his natural birth. We also see that Timothy's mother instructed him from a child. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says that she gave him not only breast milk, but the sincere milk of the Word. Teach them good principles early, that they would fear the Lord even as a child. Educate them. Train them up in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it, the text says. The more your children fear God, the more they will honor you. So, if you wish to keep this honor, if you wish for this honor to be something that propagates in your home and grows, be kind to your children. Be kind to them, but don't spoil them. If you do not discipline them, they will hate you instead of honoring you. Proverbs teaches us that the rod of discipline must not be withheld, because with it we deliver their soul from hell, is what the text says. Keep your authority and you will keep your honor. And I can't stress this enough. In everything that you say to them, and every action that you do, and every way that you discipline them, Let them see the love of Christ in it. Your love for them and your love for Christ will bring with it honor. Love your child. Because they are much more than just a picture of you. My friend, your children are a part of you. They're basically a mother and father 2.0. One danger that I personally struggle with is dishonoring myself by provoking my children to anger sometimes. Colossians 3 verse 21 specifically says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." How many of us are guilty of this? Is it just me? Whether it's by speaking unkindly to them or even cursing at them, we provoke them to wrath. You may say that you want God to bless your children, but why do you curse them? We can provoke them to wrath when we punish them for no reason, or when the punishment is maybe too much. Do not be a tyrant in your home. Be a father and a mother. Saul, it's a very bad example, threw a javelin at his own son just to hit him because he was angry. And this provoked his own son to anger. The text says in 1 Samuel that Jonathan arose from the table in a fierce anger. Be a loving and kind parent to them and not a spiteful bully. What I'm trying to say is be worthy of the honor that this command gives. Be worthy of that honor by doing many things. And one of them can be not choosing favorites, not playing favorites. Yes, a parent can sometimes have greater love for one child, but wisdom should tell us to not show more love to one than to another. This is what we saw in the story of Jacob. He showed more love for Joseph than for all of his other children. And it says that this provoked much anger within his family amongst the rest of the children. Don't make the same mistake that he did. As the child should honor his father and mother, so too parents should not dishonor the child. The passage in Colossians 21 shows the reason why parents should be careful to not provoke their children. It says, lest they be discouraged. Do not provoke your child to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now friends, this word discouraged can mean two different things. It can mean either that a parent's provoking has caused a child to maybe become depressed. It may cause them to have bad thoughts or maybe even have a cause for premature death. Another translation of this word, discouraged, can also mean rebelliousness. The child being provoked by the cruel behavior of a parent looks for ways to be cruel and irritating to his parents himself. The child is indeed still guilty, but the parent is the cause. Whichever it may be, both bring your children to sin, both of these things bring your children to sin, and both only make us worthy of dishonor. Do not provoke your children. Instead, do this. Pray for them. Pray diligently for them. Don't start a college fund without also having a prayer fund for them that they can draw from so that they know that you love them. Pray that your children may be protected from sin. Pray that your children bear God's image in their heart. Pray that they may be used to glorify God. A child will indeed honor a praying parent. Encourage good behavior in your children, and you will see that behavior multiply. Goodness increases when it's pointed out, and in turn, they will desire it above all other things. Simply put, be the example that you want them to be. Be the example that you want them to turn out. Don't let your life be contrary to what you teach them. Don't teach them to be slow to anger when you yourself are quick to blow your top. If you want your children to honor you, teach them by a holy example. After all, a parent is a mirror that a child looks into. A child looks into this parent, this parental mirror, and he sees the man that he is supposed to see. He sees the woman that he is supposed to be. And then he corrects himself by what he sees. Do not let that glass be dirty. Keep that mirror clear and allow them to see Christ whenever they look into it. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is what is right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to understand what it means to worship you through obedience. Father, you have called us to obedience in many things, but God, seeking to obey our parents, Father, can sometimes be the hardest. Father, we think of ourselves to be more knowledgeable than they. We think of ourselves to have lived a different life than they. So therefore, we don't have to listen to their counsel. But God, instill in us a spirit of humility. Instill in us, Father, this same spirit that teaches humility as we try to train and raise our own children, those around us that we are in. We have responsibility for, whether that be our own children or nieces and nephews or grandchildren. Father, we know that these responsibilities should not be taken lightly. Father, we will answer for what we teach. Father, I pray that each and every child that is here today will grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they will seek after you, Father, that we as a church will be that mirror, and that we will represent Christ as they look to us. They will see the man and the woman that they need to be, and that they will pattern their life after it. God, this is a high calling that we fail at, that I fail miserably at. Please help me to be a better man, a better husband, and a better father for those in my life who look to me for leadership. And God, I ask that you help us as a church to model this. Father, to pray for those within our care. And God, not to pray superficially, quickly, running past these children, Father, for they don't know what they're doing and they don't know the extent of pain. But Father, praying diligently for them, seeking to lift them up just as we lift up our fellow brothers and sisters, lifting these children up, Father, for they have a responsibility to obey. And it is not easy for them, for they fight that sinful man that desires disobedience, that desires hate. Teach us, Father, to love one another better, to love our children, and that they may see and respect us for that love. And help us also to reflect upon the love that our parents have shown us. Help us to reflect upon that, and if they be with us still today, to look to them, to thank them for their love and their guidance. God, we are grateful to have them with us, and if they are not here, Father, we can still be thankful for the lessons that we have learned. God, you have graciously given us loving parents in many situations. And Father, in those situations where parental figures are scarce and morality is lost. Help us as a church to come alongside each other and to help each other to grow in sanctification and in purity. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to seek your word and to love each other. And we ask it all in your name. Amen.